From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth's First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Chainsaws kill the trees, soften everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. Takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information in the latter half of the second hour, half hour of the show. And we're going to get right on into our announcements here, starting off with a story entitled Friend Turns in Arizona Arsonist, or Why You Don't Talk to Anyone About Night Work. Mark Warren Sands, in federal custody as a suspected preserves arsonist, confided to a friend on a camping trip 2 weeks ago that he is the person who has been going around town and torching homes under construction, prosecutors disclosed in court. Sands unwittingly made the confession on tape. His friend was working in cooperation with authorities and was wired at the time of the June 5th camping trip at the Grand Canyon, the authorities said. The prosecutor, Joseph Welty, also said that Sands' DNA was found on three letters that he wrote to media outlets, including The Republic. One of the letters was sent to Phoenix New Times, with whom Sands purportedly sat down for an interview. The letter claims that the fires were set to protect the environment and were signed with the initials CSP, an acronym that stands for Coalition to Save the Preserves. Sands, who lives near a preserve in North Phoenix and served as vice president of his homeowners association, faces up to 300 years in prison and $5.5 million in fines if convicted on all 22 counts of arson and extortion. The indictment links him to eight fires that were set between April 9th last year and January 18th of this year. And this story by Christina Leonard of the Arizona Republic. So watch what you say, and it's better to say nothing. Listen to Uncle Dennis. Activists needed. Hi, y'all. There are approximately 50 pairs of spotted owls left in Canada. There's a critical situation developing near Hope, British Columbia, where Cattermole Timber is currently logging a cut block that is critical spotted owl habitat. An owl was spotted, please excuse the pun, on last Sunday, and the company began logging the next day, directly in an area identified by the Ministry of Environment as critical to spotted owl survival. The Ministry of Forestry approved the logging in an attempt to eliminate the species in British Columbia so that it won't interfere with future logging. Evil and twisted logic, and sick, but true. Sierra Legal Defense Fund has applied for an injunction, and if they do not succeed, we need to stop the logging. Please call 604-760-6028. That's 604-760-6028. If you can get to British Columbia quickly, please do so. Sad but true. Call us if you can help. Save the owl protectors or stop. Moving to California, in the same week that Santa Cruz Earth First was celebrating their one-year anniversary of the Ramsey Gulch Tree Village occupation, a connected group of activists climbed into the trees in a 70-acre THP or timber harvest plant outside of Boulder Creek, California, just off of the San Lorenzo River. Activists say they will do what they can to stop Roger Birch of Redwood Empire from profiting from the destruction of any more forest land and watershed damage in Santa Cruz County. The village was set to protect a grove of large old-growth trees, which were promised not to be cut from being damaged by roads, smaller falling trees, and no buffer retention. The new tree village comes after a swell of activity, including slideshows and local rallies and banner hangs targeting Roger Birch's Redwood Empire Company. There is a lot of community frustration towards this company. Bringing that energy together to create positive results is in a serious potential. Roger Birch is the largest landholder in Santa Cruz County, with more than 6,000 acres and owning more than 30,000 acres in Mendocino and Humboldt County. His company is notoriously sneaky and destructive. Activists in Santa Cruz are equipped with much vision and energy, but of course they are also in need of much more. Anyone interested in lending a hand can come to their meetings on Tuesday nights in Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. at 509 Broadway in downtown Santa Cruz, California, to plug in, or you can call their hotline at 831-425-3205, or if you want to send email, it's cruzief@cruzio.com. Once again, the hotline, 831-425-3205, or the email at cruzef@cruzio.com. They need gear, ropes, building materials, food, money, love is always welcome. Call to arrange a drop-off or send mail. Donations to P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 94301. And moving to Bloomington, Indiana, the tree sit there adds a road blockade. A blockade of road construction items, concrete, and bicycle racks blocks vehicle access on a road leading to the site where local environmental activists have been staging a tree sit since March. Bill Brown believes the barricade cemented into Basswood Drive Monday night is a militant attempt to slow construction of Canterbury House Apartments, but Monroe County Sheriff Steve Sharp says the impact of the barricade and any subsequent vandalism will fall upon those attempting to block construction. The barricade included iron pick racks and thick iron poles filled with cement that were chained and cemented into the street. It completely blocked the street leading to the project site. "I'm advising the owner and developer to stay cool and not get too concerned about it," Sharp said. "The result is that more serious charges than simple trespassing will be brought to bear. The people involved will have to make their own decisions on that." Sharp said the barricade and tree sitters on the site aren't bothering anything now and can be dealt with when developers are ready to begin construction in mid-July. Brown owns the 50-acre site and plans to sell it to Indianapolis development firm Herman Associates. He said any decision on when and whether to force removal of tree sitters and other protesters on the site will be a joint decision between him and Herman Associates. The sheriff's department is currently planning how to deal with the tree sitters if they refuse to come down. Sharp said the more aggressive tactics threatened by project opponents will have little effect on planning. "It was just a matter of time," Sharp said, "of learning about the barricades, the first major act of vandalism at the site." Sharp also said the development of Tracy McNeely being replaced apparently temporarily by other tree sitters won't change his department's plans. McNeely won't be arrested for trespassing if his officers make contact with her while she isn't in her tree sit, he said. Brown said he is disappointed project opponents were choosing vandalism to try and stop the apartment project, even though it has been approved by the appropriate government bodies. "I'm sorry they decided to take militant action," he said. "Obviously, it's wrong." Although the project site is located outside city limits in county jurisdiction, Basswood Drive, which leads to the site, is located within city limits. Bloomington, Indiana Police Officer Randy Gelhausen said the construction of the barricade caused significant damage to the street. He has no suspects, but expects to interview the tree sitters. And this story was written by Doug Wilson of the Bloomington, Indiana Herald-Times. And moving to Genetics Alert news release. On June 10th, antibiotech activists destroyed thousands of Roundup Ready peas at Seminis Research Center. According to the communique, quote, "A bunch of us around here doing farming and trucking crops decided to find out anything we could about Seminis. And then the information we got made us take things into our own hands and go out into their field one night and rip out their pea plants." The communique continued, "Those peas aren't normal. They had their genes changed to make the plant stay alive when sprayed with glyphosate herbicide. That's like the brand Roundup for people who don't know. This antibiotic action is the fifth of this year. Since November 1998, there have been over 40 antigenetic direct actions in North America. Direct action has continued to maintain that biotechnology is completely unnecessary and is being developed at the expense of human and ecological health, solely to increase the profits of large multinational corporations. With the North American growing season at hand, it is likely that direct action against facilities producing and testing genetically engineered organisms will resume. The communique concludes, "We hope this story will be interesting to people, especially people wondering what's going on right down the road from them. Why don't we take things into our own hands at this point and take out those crops?" Anyway, here's the complete communique. "To whom it may concern at the Genetics Alert Press Office. We came across your business on the internet. Can your service help get out news about what's going on here in Idaho? There's a company called Seminus Vegetable Seeds in Filer, Idaho, and we would pass its research center every day. We started wondering what kind of research they were doing. There's a lot of agriculture around here, and everything is bigger and bigger companies who don't say what's being grown or how. A bunch of us around here doing farming and trucking crops decided to find out anything we could about Seminus. And then the information we got made us take things into our own hands and go out into their field one night and rip out their pea plants. The night was June 10th, and we yanked out over 20 small plots of peas. It must have been thousands of plants. These peas aren't normal. They had their genes changed to make plants stay alive when sprayed with glyphosate herbicide. That's like the Roundup for people who don't know. The internet was how we looked up a lot of information. You can get addresses there and find out what businesses have going on. We did a search and find Seminus's website. We also went to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service website. If you go there, it's www.aphis.usda.gov/biotechnology/permits.html. They do permitting for gene modification research. If you click on "How can I check on an application to import, move, or field test, or petition to deregulate," as part of the biotechnology database, you can find records about who's testing what kind of altered plants. We found Seminus's permit 01-065-1N, number 321 for peas, saw the peas in their field, and it went from there. These gene-altered plants can crossbreed with regular plants, and we don't know what they will do to people, animals, the soil, or anything. It was really easy work to take them out of the picture and didn't take very long once we got used to the dark and relaxed into the work. We hope this story will be interesting to people, especially people wondering what's going on right down the road from them. Why don't we take things into our own hands at this point and take out these crops? By the way, Seminus's place is right on Highway 30 at the 2300 Road corner next to the high school, Filer, Idaho. Moving on down the road, biotechnology lab sabotaged in Idaho. The Earth Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for sabotaging the University of Idaho biotechnology building last week in a show of opposition to genetic engineering. This is the second strike by the group at the new biotech building. The Earth Liberation Front is an international underground organization that uses economic sabotage to protest the destruction of the natural environment. In North America since 1997, ELF has caused more than $40 million in damages. A communique released by the ELF stated, quote, "Survey stakes were removed and the exterior of the new building painted with such sentiments as no GE and go organic. Biotechnological research may be intended for good ends by the scientist, as was nuclear research, but in our free enterprise police state society, it will be used almost solely for greed and control," the communique continued. "With genetic engineering, we are creating another bomb. The University of Idaho, in partnership with Monsanto's NatureMark, genetically modifies potatoes to be resistant to various viruses and pests. The University NatureMark and Idaho 4-H are also working on an educational program called Biotechnology and Potatoes, aimed at teaching students of all ages about plant biotechnology and offering hands-on genetic engineering. That partnership also supports the Young Enterprise Program, in which NatureMark supplies their genetically modified new leaf potatoes to students who then market them to local communities. Through the University of Idaho Biotechnology Program, we are teaching our children to work in a field which is developing faster than its effects, both physically and ethically, can be monitored, and has the potential for causing catastrophic harm to all humans and the planet," wrote the ELF activists, who called themselves the Night Action Kids. And it had to be. You and I both know it had to be, but it's a bummer nonetheless. Here is the first roadless sale in the nation. The Idaho Panhandle National Forest, one of the sacrifice zones administered by the new Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth during his tenure as regional forester, may be the first in the country to abuse the roadless rule. The Myrtle Cascade timber sale will be logging old growth in the Selkirk Mountain Rare 2 area. The Forest Service is citing the exemption in the roadless rule that allows commercial timber sales to protect or enhance habitat for threatened and endangered species. The appeal period just ended, and the decision has 3 units in the inventoried roadless area. The 3 threatened and endangered species in the area are lynx, caribou, and grizzly, none of which seem to be helped by logging their homes, since there are only 31 mountain caribou left with plenty of habitat, and none has been seen within 5 miles of the units. It seems a stretch to need to enter a roadless area to help caribou. The cedar hemlock forest is not good lynx foraging habitat, and logging it will remove denning habitat. We are exploring our options to protect this wild area. If you'd like more information, contact Mike Peterson of the Lands Council, 517 South Division in Spokane, Washington, 99202. That's Mike Peterson, the Lands Council, 517 South Division in Spokane, Washington, 99202. Or you can give Mike a call at 509-838-4912. That's 509-838-4912. And you can get more information about the Myrtle Cascade timber sale. Moving to Alaska, we read that roadless areas in the Tongass rainforest face immediate threats. Right now, the Forest Service is planning to log thousands of acres on Gravina Island, just west of Ketchikan, right in the heart of the Tongass National Forest. The Gravina Island timber sale would log thousands of acres of old-growth rainforest from the heart of a 37,000-acre roadless area. Clear-cut up to 37 million board feet of irreplaceable old-growth forest, and build almost 22 miles of new logging roads. In a June 7th directive, the Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth stated, quote, "The Forest Service is committed to protecting and managing roadless areas. At the same time, Chief Bosworth took responsibility for deciding whether any road building or logging project would be allowed in roadless areas until the next round of forest plans are complete. It is time to put his commitment to the test." Send a fax to Forest Service Chief Dale Bosworth at 202-205-1765. That's 202-205-1765, and urge him to stop this timber sale now. And help stop massive post-fire logging operation in the Bitterroot National Forest in Montana. The Bitterroot National Forest is pushing a massive post-fire logging proposal for forests burned in the last summer's wildfires. The magnitude of the potential post-fire logging proposal is staggering. Up to 280 million board feet of timber are on the chopping block as part of BNF's Burned Area Recovery Plan. This is over 2.5 times the amount of timber that was sold from the Bitterroot National Forest in an 11-year period from 1988 to 1999, or enough timber to fill 56,000 log trucks that could be lined up end-to-end for 475 miles. To make matters worse, the logging is proposed for environmentally sensitive forests that are already well into the natural recovery process. Regional conservation groups and the Bitterroot Valley residents have united to develop a recovery plan for the Bitterroot that will facilitate true recovery while resulting in no additional damage. Our conservation and local economy alternative is driven by and consistent with recommendations of the scientific community and will proactively address the following needs. 1. Facilitate the natural recovery of burned areas. 2. Work directly to protect homes from future wildland fire. 3. Provide economic opportunities for local residents of Ravalli County. 4. Protect clean water and fully functioning watersheds. 5. Prevent the erosion of noxious weeds. 6. Restore wildfire into the forest ecology outside of the wildland-urban interface. 7. Improve the scientific understanding of fire ecology. And 8. Improve the public's understanding of fire ecology and forest management. Take action! We encourage you to take a few minutes to compose a letter to the Bitterroot National Forest in support of the conservation and local economy alternative. It is important to include the following information in your letter: your name, address, and phone number. Your letter is addressing the Burned Area Recovery Draft Environmental Impact Statement, or DEIS. You support the conservation and local economy alternative. The recovery plan should not result in further environmental damage. And every standing dead and downed tree plays a specific and essential role in the natural recovery of a burned area. Dead trees are not wasted resources. And the scientific community has established that post-fire salvage logging provides no benefit to the post-fire forest and may in fact damage fragile soils, remove essential biomass, exacerbate the spread of noxious weeds, and destroy natural vegetation. When you get done writing your letter, address it to Mr. Craig Bobzien. That's B-O-B-Z-E-I-E-N. B-O-B-Z-I-E-N. District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Once again, that address for those letters. In support of the Conservation and Local Economy Alternative in the Burned Area Recovery DEIS is Mr. Craig Bobzien, B-O-B-Z-I-E-N, District Ranger, 1801 North 1st, Hamilton, Montana, 59840. Or you could send email to cbobzien at fs.fed.us. That's cbobzien at fs.fed.us. And letters and email should be there by July 16th. And Amazon campaign volunteers are required for August and September. Greenpeace is seeking volunteers for a unique and physically demanding project in a remote part of the western Amazon during August and September of this year. Greenpeace has been working for almost 2 years with the Dene Indians of the Brazilian Amazon. The Dene's traditional land is under threat from logging companies, in particular from the Malaysian company WTK. Under Brazilian law, Indian lands have to be physically demarcated, that is, the boundaries marked, before they are officially recognized. Once the land is demarcated, industrial-scale activities including logging are forbidden. The Dene are now ready to take charge of their demarcation. With great pleasure, we will return to Dene lands in August to assist them in this process. The Dene, in addition to the involvement of some of the existing Greenpeace Amazon team, have invited 6 volunteers to participate. Participate means to be a member of one of 3 teams that are demarcating the most vulnerable areas of the Dene's lands. One team will demarcate an area of the Cunha River. They will post signs along the riverbanks advising people that the land is Dene. The other 2 teams will demarcate 2 areas of land near the Zerua River, each cutting a path 1 meter wide by approximately 50 kilometers long through the jungle and posting the Dene's boundary signs along these paths. The Cunha team will be based from a riverboat, whilst the 2 Zerua teams will camp in the jungle for the duration of the demarcation. We are looking for volunteers who can work in extremely difficult jungle conditions. Successful candidates must be in excellent physical condition and capable of hard manual labor in extreme conditions, be a calm, patient, sensible team worker, available from August 10th until the end of September, be prepared to write regular diary entries describing your experiences for display on the internet and for use in Greenpeace publications, be articulate and willing to share your experiences with the media and Greenpeace supporters in your home country, and a fluency in Portuguese would be a major asset. To apply for one of these positions, please send a curriculum vitae, somewhat similar to a resume, and a cover letter via email to Anne Dingwall, Greenpeace Amazon Campaign, Manaus, Amazonas, Brazil. And the email address is anne.dingwall@dialb.greenpeace.org. Once again, that email address, anne.dingwall@dialb.greenpeace.org. Your application must be received by June 23rd, and they will be contacting a short list of potential candidates by June 30th. So you better get on, right on that one. All right. Want to let folks know that the Earth First Round River Rendezvous is coming up between July 7th and July 16th. It will be at McCain Meadows, adjacent to the Little Grays River in the western foothills of the Wyoming Mountain Range, east of the town of Alpine, Wyoming, in the far west central part of the state. They will be asking for a donation to help out. If you want more information, contact T. Winnett Earth First. That's T-E-E-W-I-N-O-T, Earth First, P.O. Box 1588, Wilson, Wyoming, W-I-L-S-O-N, Wyoming, 83014. Please keep your questions or comments to Round River Rendezvous. Stuff only. Bring your undying love of wilderness and biodiversity, a commitment to the defense of wilderness and biodiversity, a commitment to nonviolence, and respect for socio-cultural diversity within the movement that defends wilderness and biodiversity. Once again, July 7th through the 16th at McCain Meadows on the Little Gray River east of Alpine, Wyoming. And we're going to take a little musical break here and listen to some Danny Dolinger.
Something pulls you out of bed and puts you in your day and introduces you to everything you need along the way. It puts your finger to the flame and teaches you the burning, and you become a ripple in the river of our learning. It locks you at the gateway of your dreams until the hour you recognize you've always had the key and you are walking in power. Most folks can't see power unless it is in motion. I see fire in your eyes to move the tide across the ocean. There's a purpose in your passion, there's a reason for your tears. Yet you dissipate your power when you ground it in your fears. You will step into destiny and you can do it now, or stumble blindly down your path like you don't know that you are walking in power. I am here to remind you, when you take your path, you light the way for those who come behind you. There's more to your future than the choices you have made, so don't be afraid, don't be afraid. There is power when you stay, there is power when you go, there is power in the people who are not aware they know. Do not give your power to the cynics who would bind you. Who has confined you? Some would try to steal away the light that lets you flower, but you are always safe when you're aware that you are walking in power. When you accept your light, you are never in the dark. There is guidance for the asking if you listen with your heart, and this will bring you to the very things you want the most. But if you want to sing with angels, you've got to dance with ghosts. Show compassion for the people who still tremble and cower. It was not so long ago you didn't know that you are walking in power. Walking in power.
Danny Dolinger, Walking in Power, off Rome Wasn't Burnt in a Day. And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stay tuned.